All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM, backstage of the Grammys. Don't forget to watch the big show on Sunday night.
Yeah, CBS.
And look what the cat dragged
look
in,
look at this, man.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Nice to see you, buddy. Oh, okay, is that right?
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Wow.
It's so hard for me to get in there at night now.
Yeah, I know. I know. So we beg you to come in, but you're so busy with the shows and everything. And you and I always had a great relationship.
We go way back.
Way back. I mean, you know.
This other guy.
Dr. Drew will tell every single year, he says, hey, I can't wait to see you in my office. You know, just waiting for you to come by.
Well, not my office so much as some of my.
The program.
Some of my tougher peers.
Right. Yeah, All right. He hasn't been able to crack me yet.
literally.
Your new show is unbelievable.
Well, thanks.
It's taken off. And thank God you have a new vehicle to sell yourself.
Because we were speaking off the air about the lack of vehicles for you.
Yeah, and there isn't anything.
And
is
we
there?
Were really it's, thinking, yeah. I mean, that's a guy who should be on TV.
More outlets.
Should have more outlets. Yeah. And we're glad it's coming around.
Yeah, thanks.
I have no complaints on this show. Except one.
Oh, yeah,
I got
please.
One. I think, you know.
By the way, before you say it,
yes.
I know it's going to be thoughtful and good. and seriously, that's a compliment. Because I get lots of little comments like, oh, my God, come on. You're going to give me a good one.
This is not an insult at all.
No, I know it's going to be good. Serious.
But I tell you what the one minor problem with your show is your show is about uplifting and getting people back from from basically the low in their life, the low point in their life, trying to bring
Hopefully,
them back up.
Yes.
Right. I think that a lot of people who watch that show, like my wife, get depressed out of their minds while they watch it.
No, you're right. And
she suffers from mild depression, and your show puts her in a coma.
You're right. Last week I started hearing that. And you know what that meant to me is that we did too much of them getting enrolled in the process and not enough about their recovery.
I see.
By one show. Because tonight, you haven't seen tonight yet.
She didn't see last night.
She will change because you see Jeff really starting to get better.
Oh, good.
It's all about Mary Carey. I found my wife in bed crying over Mary Carey.
Yeah, my wife was too.
Well, wait till you see this one because really it's very inspiring.
And my wife didn't even vote for her for governor.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Not even a supporter.
Her husband did, but wife. Now,
you've said.
But good. See, I knew you called something good.
You've said on the radio, and sometimes driving home, I've been known to John and Jeff. I listen to them. Check out.
You just drift over to Loveline.
Check you out. I heard you say that you were talking about addiction because that comes up a lot on your show.
Yeah.
And did you say it's deadlier than 90% of cancers?
I said the prognosis is worse than most cancers, yes.
So
most cancers are treatable.
Right.
Most cancers, addiction has a very low success rate of treatment and has a high death rate.
So if you're an alcoholic and you get cancer, you're like, woohoo!
Yeah, that's way better. I can treat that. It's like the old thing. If you have a cold, I give you pneumonia. I can treat that, right?
Take it a step further, and then the doctors can treat you.
But isn't that remarkable? I mean, that's a kind of that was.
I've been thinking a lot about this lately. It's, again, that's why I love talking to you guys. Your heads are where my head's at. And that is that I started in radio really because I perceived there to be a real problem, and that problem at that time was something called GRIDS, gay-related intestinal disease syndrome, that you know as AIDS. It motivated me to get out there and talk about this stuff because I thought people needed to know about it. I thought media should be used as a vehicle to educate, and it really got me into radio. I mean, it was just my little idea. I did it for community service, I thought.
Right.
My attention has shifted, like a battleship, sort of shifting towards I see now our problem is drugs and alcohol. It's a pandemic now.
Yeah.
It is really
huge.
A big deal.
Yeah, but
Young Hollywood is reflecting all that. You know, you're seeing it.
But you know, if you go on to the Alcoholics Anonymous website, right, and they'll ask you like 10 questions. They'll say, do you have a problem if you get buzzed, you're an alcoholic. Is that necessarily true?
No, you know, look,
driving buzzed like driving drunk nowadays?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Well, that's by technically
so,
is.
So,
sure.
So if you go to McDonald's and you're an overweight person and you have one Big Mac or you have 12 Big Macs, that's the same thing. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Corolla.
Oh, is that right? his point?
Yes. He would always say stuff like that. He got crazy. Nothing's gray. Everything's all this or all that.
Do you miss
that? It's a big
compliment. That logic,
you
miss that kind of black and white logic?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
No, he does not.
But you lost my train of thought now, for goodness sakes.
No, but the pandemic of alcoholism.
Yeah. You go to their website on AA, they ask you all these questions and buzz driving versus drunk driving.
Gone.
Yeah, all right.
Nice. You tried. Thank you. Thank you for trying to bail me out, though.
This guy does a great impersonation of your current partner.
And
to the point where he called us one night and said, "Hey, man, I heard you."
I did hear you. He wanted you to do it.
Hey, dude. Hey, man. No, I'm just listening to you guys, man. You're on Loveline. You're 19. Go ahead. Now, by the way, why do they give the age? Is it so we can all get in the zone?
Like, I guess.
You're 22. You're on Loveline, man.
Coral started
that years
ago. You
got a problem with your wiener, man? Yeah. You know, what is going on there? Adam started giving the age?
Yeah, he said that whole business.
It's for the perverts.
You're 19. You're 20.
Yes,
you're
it's his. Like, there's a 50-year-old guy.
When he first started doing that, it rang wrong in my ear. I'd always go, why are you doing that? Right. Give the age if it's appropriate and stuff, or just say, Jim, 15.
Right.
Not, you're 15. Now all of a sudden it sounds wrong to me if people aren't saying, hey, you're 22.
Right,
exactly.
Ethel, you're 84. You're on Loveline, man.
Yeah, it's so funny.
No, but I think it's given out for the perverts. It's like, all right, Stacy, you're 13.
Oh, God.
You know?
You know, then you get ready for
I'm
the
I'm learning
call.
So much about you guys. It's not good.
And by the way, Dr. Drew, you really do
Did you have Brigitte come by here, by the way, Brigitte Nielsen?
Yes, she said she loves you.
Is she doing great?
Yeah, she's doing fantastic.
This is not a problem, though. She says she's 44. We don't believe it. We think more like 54. Her husband is 29. Is that a problem?
No. Problem that her husband's 29?
All right. Is this a problem? This young man was on antidepressants.
Oh, now he's going to tell. All right.
Here we go. Here it goes.
And weaned himself off of.
I stopped taking them.
Did you tell your doctor?
No, sir.
That's not good.
I lied to the psychiatrist.
That's not good.
But everybody lies.
Why do you go?
I have an appointment. I mean, I don't want to miss my appointment.
But go and tell the truth. It's okay.
But doesn't everybody lie to a doctor?
I'm used to that. You should know that my peers, other doctors, when they find out you've been lying, they are incensed. They feel violated.
Oh, see, then I could never tell them.
And my thing is like, no, not a psychiatrist, because they kind of are attuned to all this stuff. My thing is like, if my patients didn't lie, their diagnosis would be in question. I mean, I feel like I'm.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, my patients lie.
Wait, so it's like when you go to a doctor yourself, you're not feeling well. Do you lie to that guy?
No, I try. I try not to.
You see, here's the thing. I am written a prescription for Wellbutrin.
Yes.
Because you'd look at me, you'd think guy's on top of the world.
Yes.
Turns out,
I would.
Turns out, clinical depression.
Wow, shocking.
I mean, who
but
knew?
But you know the 50% recurrence rate with that. So if you stop your medicine without doctors watching you,
but here's what happened.
We've already gotten there.
I started taking the medicine, Dr. Drew.
You couldn't sleep. Got a headache.
I had difficulty sleeping.
Yeah.
You may remember that last year I was a little thinner when you were here.
Wellbutrin makes you not eat though.
Well, I got it fatter
from Wellbutrin.
Yeah. So I said F it.
But he was putting them in sandwiches.
I mean, he was eating a lot. I'm trying to talk to the doctor. You got a consultation.
The calorie intake in just Wellbutrin alone was putting him over the top.
Well, this dynamic has changed since I was last on your show. It's become agitated, irritable, discontent. He must be drinking.
He's suicidal.
I'm taking the Wellbutrin, and then I stop because I don't want the,
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
So I go to the psychiatrist's office, and he assumes I'm on the Wellbutrin.
Right,
this is like he diagnosed me.
Yeah.
I feel like it would hurt his feelings
if
I told him I stopped taking the medicine.
No. You're hurting his feelings by not telling him because he's making assumptions based on the information you're giving me. And he's going to participate in a dangerous thing with you, and that's not good.
I may have told you this before. Dr. Drew Pinsky is with us, but I go to the same doctor my dad does. And the doctor said to me, how often you drink? I said, when I get home, I have a couple of beers. And he said, which is not true.
Right.
It's a little more
than
that.
You have 12 beers. Yeah.
Well, not 12, but somewhere between 2 and 12. But so my doctor said,
your doctor would be like, he didn't tell me the truth. I'd be like, of course, I could read his mind. I know what's going on with
that. Listen, I mean, look at this bond. You don't get this from 2 beers. But my doctor says to me, he goes, you got to be more like your dad, where your dad only drinks like 2 or 3 times a year. And I thought to myself, that is so great. 2 generations of Conways BSing the same doctor. That's classic.
But just, that's true. And that's how I've sort of become a mind reader. I feel like in my patients, I have to trust whatever comes into my head and just go with it.
Yeah, you assume they're lying to you.
I know they're lying to me.
Right.
But I accept anything. It's all whatever.
Now,
I don't care. I just trust my instincts in those moments with the patient.
So he knows? My doctor knows?
No, maybe not.
I think he does.
But like, for instance, Daniel Baldwin, Mary Carey thing, if you watch our show tonight, there's something goes down between them, and this one's saying this, and this one's saying, I don't know. No way. 2 addicts right. telling me something happened. I don't know what happened.
When do you finally come out of the closet and seek attention and help for your...
Workaholism?
Workaholism.
You know,
And what show will you go on?
Yeah, what special?
Is there a VH1 show?
Come here every day.
Is there a VH1 workaholism?
No, I was aware
celebrity workaholism.
This week.
It's on 24
I
hours
have a history
day.
Of workaholism, and I was well in control for many, many years. And this week I thought, oh, yeah, it's here it is.
No, I don't think you're in control.
Yeah, it's out of control again. And it's a weird feeling.
You're here.
Yeah, I know.
You got 8 shows on, you're here.
And I blame you because I came to see you guys. I swear to God.
Is that right?
There were 3 people I visited, and you were one of them.
Wow.
I was like, I got to visit them.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
That's
But seriously, Dr. Drew, you said that it was in remission, your workaholism?
It was for a long time.
How to kick back in, kids?
These projects. By not saying no to some things earlier.
Does your wife want you home more or less?
She's always wanting me home more, but you know she kind of knows how this business works. So this time she was like, "No, keep going, keep going, keep going."
Oh, okay, all right.
All right.
So you're making good money.
Maybe.
If all goes well. Are the triplets all on the same sleeping schedule?
Yeah, they're 15 years old.
But when they were younger, were they?
Yes. No. It was horrible.
They're up all the time.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. See, that's the worst. That's why I'm not going to have two kids.
Yeah, it's horrible.
You know, one's up, the other one's away.
It's horrible. You got to have two adults going 24/7.
Yeah. See, I don't want that.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I turned my hair gray. My hair was, you know, your guys' color.
I know. And you're a young guy too. You're in your 30s, right?
Oh yeah, sure.
All right, Dr. Drew Pinsky, thank you very much for coming by.
The best.
And please try to come by, and we'll give you some airtime.
I really want. Yeah, I need an outlet.
No, you need an outlet. You really do. You're not heard from enough.
All right, really. Dr. Drew, everybody. Very entertaining guy, doing a lot of great work out there. See his show every single Friday.
It's Thursday
Sunday,
at 10, Thursday at 10, plus 100 other times.
All right, it's on all the time. You can't miss it. And then, sit and watch it and cry and get depressed and, become suicidal.
Yeah, now it's going up.
But
now,
tonight
now
is uplifting.
Yeah, it goes uplifting.
Uplifting.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right. So the people who haven't killed themselves, the people who are left can enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Right. It's Darwin at work.
Okay. Dr. Drew, depressing my wife 24 hours a day. All right. It is the Conway Whitman Show. We're backstage of the Grammys thanks to Michael Clayton. The new DVD comes out from Warner Brothers on February 19th. And we're live on 97.1 Free FM.